we can't discount just how influential oil prices are and will continue to be.
A steep decline in the state's forecasted oil tax revenue. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Wednesday, December 4th. Good evening, I'm Ellen Lockyer. Also tonight, a summit on preventing domestic violence.
We tried to ask them to go get marriage counseling or to go talk to the elders, and they could always come to the shelter and talk to us.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, committed to safety, operating the 800-mile Trans-Alaska Pipeline for 35 years. Many Alaska business owners are paying too much for energy. The Commercial Building Energy Audit Program identifies an average of 30% in energy savings. The application period runs November 1st through December 20th. To learn more, visit akenergyefficiency.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Energy Authority.
The state of Alaska is expecting to take in $2 billion less in oil taxes over the next fiscal year, according to the Department of Revenue's fall forecast. That means a 30% drop in the state's unrestricted general fund, or the pool of money that the state's elected leaders control. Commissioner Angela Rodel says that there are a number of factors contributing to this decline, but the biggest ones are lower production and lower prices for oil. While the state had expected a barrel to cost around $109 on average, it's been changed. That the estimate is now $105.
We can't discount just how influential oil prices are and will continue to be on future forecasts. So even when we turn oil production around and stem the decline, oil prices will continue to be a very heavily influential factor on future state revenues.
Rodel says the state's new oil tax law, which goes into effect this January, plays a smaller role in this anticipated downturn. Under the old system, the tax rate went up as oil prices increased. The new system, which the Parnell administration has named the More Alaska Production Act, or MAPA, sets a tax ceiling of 35% with tax credits issued as the price of a barrel of oil goes down. Opponents of the new law have called it a giveaway to oil companies, and a referendum to repeal it is slated to appear on the August primary ballot. Rodel says that since oil prices are lower than anticipated, the Department of Revenue is seeing less of a difference between the two systems than anticipated.
And that's not to say that MAPA doesn't have an influence on the decline in revenue, because we have estimated that decline in revenue attributed to tax reform to be roughly $250 to $300 million. My concern is that they think the entire decline is due to MAPA, when in fact, the vast majority of the decline is due to the reduction in oil prices.
But some Democratic lawmakers who opposed the new law think the difference between the two oil tax regimes is being downplayed. Anchorage Senator Bill Wilkowski has dubbed the law, quote, an unmitigated financial train wreck after looking at the forecast. House Minority Leader Beth Kurtula says she's still reviewing the forecast, but that revenue hit is concerning to her.
That's a lot of schools. That's a lot of hospitals. That's a lot of roads.
The forecasted decline is expected to influence Governor Sean Parnell's budget, which is due out next week. The second annual Prevention Summit kicked off yesterday in Juneau, sponsored by the State Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. The three-day summit at Centennial Hall brings together teams from 19 communities with the goal of sharing ideas about prevention. KTOO's Lisa Fu talked to some of the participants at the start of the summit to find out how domestic violence prevention is working in their community and what they hope to gain over the next couple of days.
Tasha Bird is a rural outreach coordinator for the Women's Shelter in Emonic, a Yupik village of about 800 people.
My job is to educate youth and young women to stop domestic violence from happening to them and their children, their neighbors.
She says the 9-bed shelter has been busy all year. The 6 extra cots have also gotten a lot of use. Bird says domestic violence and sexual assault in Emonic is often caused by drinking or jealousy.
We try to ask them to go get marriage counseling or to go talk to the elders, and they could always come to the shelter and talk to us. But it's the men who don't want to participate, or they don't want to come forward and deal with everything.
Being able to reach the men in her community is part of what Bird hopes to get out of the prevention summit. She's heard about the statewide program, Alaska Men Choose Respect, and wants to learn more.
Lots of the guys at home like to play basketball, and maybe I'll work with the City League and see if they could help me with something, because I know lots of the young boys, they look up to those guys.
Bethel resident Winifred Kelly Green is the Healthy Families Coordinator for the Association of Village Council Presidents. She says she has started working on healing historical trauma.
The attempt to assimilate Yupik people. With that, there was a lot of traumatizing things that happened, including the Great Death. But there were other things, boarding schools, taking children away.
Kelly Green says historical trauma is linked to domestic violence and sexual assault in Bethel.
We have parents now who don't know how to be parents because they weren't home. They weren't being parented because of the boarding schools.
Through forced assimilation, Kelly Green says Yupik men lost their capacity to pass knowledge to younger generations.
In the Yupik culture, our men had a place that they called the Qazik. It's the men's house where they gathered and worked together, taught the young boys, and that was their way of maintaining whole health. And with the Christianity that came, they saw that as something bad. So they went up and down the river in every village and burned their Qazik's down, and leaving our men lost.
In Dillingham, Greg Marks-Miller works at SAFE, a domestic violence prevention agency, and runs the youth program called MySpace.
The youth program there is huge. I mean, getting kids a place to go that's consistent, that they're able to have somebody that cares about them and have advocacy and being trained to become leaders and lead in their town and making it a better place.
In Marks-Miller's opinion, everybody in Dillingham comes from a place where there's domestic violence and sexual assault.
It's something that everybody in the community has to deal with because we're a community and we all had to deal with our ills. So in essence, everybody from Dillingham comes from an issue of domestic violence and sexual assault. So knowing that, there's a lot of people that are working to try to do something about it and try to stop this domestic violence and sexual assault epidemic.
Marks-Miller's goals for the Prevention Summit is to network, take new ideas back to Dillingham, and get resources to continue the prevention efforts that are already taking place. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
Brace yourself for higher airline ticket fees, maybe. In Congress, budget negotiators are trying to craft a deal that would keep the government running and avoid automatic spending cuts without raising taxes. But lawmakers say the deal may include higher user fees, among them a doubling of the security fee air passengers pay from $2.50 per flight segment to $5. Alaska Congressman Don Young says it's not fair to his constituents.
We don't have any highways. You know, we fly more. And, you know, there's really no way we can get around without airplanes. And so we'll be the heaviest tax. And by the way, again, I think that's unconstitutional.
Young says such an increase should go through the normal congressional committee process, not come locked in as part of a budget bill.
And I'm inclined not to vote for it now if that type of thing is in the bill.
It's unclear whether negotiators will be able to reach a budget agreement with or without the air travel fee hike, but the airline industry is fighting back hard. They had leafleteers at the airport nearest to the U.S. Capitol this week handing out air sickness bags with their message on them. Quote, are higher taxes on air travel making you sick? They say taxes on a typical $300 round-trip fare already come to more than $60. Two bills aimed at helping coastal communities deal with marine debris advanced in Congress today. Alaska Congressman Don Young, a co-sponsor, says they would make it easier for local, state, and tribal governments to get money and training to address the effects of rubbish that floats to their shores. One bill would broaden the ability of the federal government to reimburse communities for cleaning up debris stemming from the 2011 Japanese tsunami, using $5 million Japan paid as compensation. The other would speed grants to communities in the midst of a debris emergency. Young says the bill doesn't appropriate funds, so it's unclear how much would be available. Both bills cleared the House Natural Resources Committee today. Japan estimates the tsunami washed 5 million tons of debris out to sea. NOAA said in September the greatest concentration of flotsam is likely to be northeast of Hawaii, about halfway to the west coast of the United States, but that the debris field extends to southeast Alaska and the Gulf of Alaska. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, frustrating in Skagway over staffing levels at the local post office.
I had some letters to mail, and I put them in the little slot. I had to push them in forcefully because the mail was stacked up so high.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by Wells Fargo, proud supporter of APRN and dedicated to having conversations that help businesses and individuals succeed financially, because an open dialogue can open doors. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. And by ERA. For more than 40 years, ERA Alaska's planes have carried the stories of Alaska. ERA Alaska, bringing Alaskans together. More at flyera.com.
An Alaska scientist whose observations of drowned polar bears helped galvanize the global warming movement has retired as part of a settlement with a federal agency. Charles Monet was briefly suspended in 2011 during an investigation into a polar bear research contract he managed. The U.S. Bureau of Ocean Energy Management found no evidence of scientific misconduct, but reprimanded Monet for improper release of government documents that an official said were later used against the agency in court. The documents included emails related to Arctic drilling for oil and gas. When Monet returned to work, his prior research portfolio had been reassigned. He filed a complaint seeking, among other things, a job transfer. Under the settlement, the 65-year-old Monet will receive $100,000 but cannot seek Interior Department work for 5 years. There is pushback on the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed extension of time for states to develop plans to reduce fine particulate pollution. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, clean air advocates are opposed to potential delay in improving air quality in communities suffering with air pollution, like Fairbanks.
A January ruling in a suit filed by the Natural Resources Defense Council requires the EPA enforce smoke regulations under a more stringent part of the Clean Air Act. Last month, the agency proposed giving states more time until December 31, 2014, to get attainment plans in, a move environmental law firm Earth Justice attorney Colin O'Brien says runs counter to the ruling.
They've looked at a court decision which said, EPA, you're doing this wrong. The deadline is supposed to be earlier, not later, and EPA has responded by giving an extension of time.
The state of Alaska failed to meet the original 2012 deadline and is working to get a plan for cleaning up Fairbanks air in by next summer. The EPA refused to comment on the proposed extension, but a fact sheet describes it as needed to clarify implementation plan requirements and provide time for states to respond. Earth Justice's O'Brien notes that plans won't be going into place until just prior to EPA pollution reduction thresholds, which take effect in 2015.
It's hard to imagine that the attainment deadline will actually be met.
O'Brien adds there's a lot at risk.
The health and welfare in those communities like Fairbanks, where the air pollution levels are dangerous.
O'Brien cites research-proven links between inhaling fine particulates from wood and coal burning and other combustion, with health impacts ranging from breathing trouble to heart attacks. The EPA is taking comment on the proposed plan deadline extension. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
After 2 months of back and forth about whether a rec center with public tennis courts should be built in Anchorage with grant money from the state legislature, the city assembly voted the idea down. But Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan has already introduced a new proposal. KSKA's Daisha Eaton has more.
Several options for what to do with the money meant for construction of the Northern Lights Recreation Center in the Turnagain neighborhood were introduced at Tuesday's assembly meeting, but none succeeded. Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan introduced a new ordinance toward the end of the meeting. He explained his proposal at a press conference at City Hall.
I laid on the table an ordinance that, again, kind of reallocates funding out of the state grant in a level that I think is probably appropriate, and it leaves $7.2 million for the new multi-use sports facility, which was the amount of their original request in the legislature back in the spring.
Tennis supporters had the backing of Mayor Sullivan, but not the assembly. The Anchorage Tennis Association lobbied Juneau directly for the money to build the rec center. Then millions in funding, which the assembly did not request, was rolled into a $37 million allocation for city infrastructure maintenance. Some assembly members disagreed with the process. Some lawmakers said they were unaware they'd given money for the project. Mayor Sullivan said there was nothing wrong with it.
It's not uncommon for a group like the Alaska Tennis Association, a nonprofit, to go to Juneau and seek support to improve or add to municipal facilities. It happens all the time. So the complaints about the process, I think, are probably more political in nature and not probably logical in nature.
At Tuesday's assembly meeting, Assemblymember Amy Domboski proposed an amendment that would have sent millions intended for the rec center back to Juneau. That failed. Measures introduced by Tim Steele and Bill Starr setting aside funding for the project also failed. Tennis supporters seemed baffled and disappointed after the votes. Originally, the mayor and the Alaska Tennis Association had discussed the possibility of $10.5 million for the project. The Tennis Association's original request was $7.2 million, though, says Alan Clendaniel, president of the Alaska Tennis Association.
$7.2 is what the Alaska Tennis Association asked for when we started this project a long time ago.
Clendaniel says if he could do it all over again, his organization would have gone to the assembly, as well as the mayor.
In hindsight, I wish we'd done that. You know, we're a nonprofit board that generally tries to teach kids tennis and run tennis tournaments. And we just, you know, went straight to the legislature. I wish we'd gone to the assembly and had done that. You know, it's probably our lack of sophistication in how the capital budget process worked.
Clem Daniel says he's hopeful that at least one assembly member will switch sides on the issue and allow it to pass. Public testimony on Sullivan's new proposal is set for the next regular assembly meeting, Tuesday, December 17th. In Anchorage, I'm Daisha Eaton.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by Rural Energy Enterprises, supplying Alaska dealers with fuel-efficient Toyo stoves and Oil Miser heaters for more than 26 years. Local dealers can be found at rural-energy.com. The Kinnick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority is developing the Kinnick Arm Crossing to further develop the transportation system between Anchorage and the Mat-Su Borough. The bridge could create construction jobs, provide access to land for commercial, industrial, and residential development, and shorten the route to Alaska's interior and North Slope. There's more information on the Kinnick Arm Bridge at kinnickarmbridge.com. This message sponsored by the Kinnick Arm Bridge and Toll Authority.
The federal program extending unemployment benefits past the 26-week limit offered by the state will end on December 28th unless Congress opts to extend it. Bill Kramer is the chief of unemployment insurance for the state of Alaska. His department is working to get people back on their feet before the program closes for good.
We're trying to make sure that people hear about it and know about it, and everybody who's filing is getting a message about the end of it coming up, and trying to encourage people to utilize the job centers or whatever resources they can to try and get back to work. Hopefully that's we can find work for most people so that they can move on and get reemployed.
Approximately 6,500 unemployed workers in Alaska are taking part in the Emergency Unemployment Compensation Program. Kramer encourages those who are affected to look into alternate resources for household aid. Rural Alaska communities rely on mail service more than most. It is a supply line for things like medication and other necessities. That's why Skagway residents are concerned with their postal service after two employees were let go, leaving the post office short-staffed and overwhelmed. Margaret Friedenauer of Station KHNS has more.
Customers like Reba Ratty are calling the situation at the Skagway post office unacceptable.
I keep quoting the Big Lebowski and saying, this will not stand. Will not stand, man. And so hopefully people are listening.
Word about short staffing at the post office got out when former clerk Arian Burnham mentioned recently on her Facebook page that she had been fired. The American Postal Workers Union is helping her contest the firing. But a second postal clerk was also let go a few days after Burnham, leaving only a temporary postmaster manning the office. Burnham said she spoke out because while losing her job is worrisome, she is also concerned with what the short staffing will do to the rest of the town.
And because the post office is such a major thing, you know what I mean? Like, that's your mail, that's your bills, that's Christmas presents, that's packages from loved ones, that's medication, there's so much that is involved with the post office.
In the last week, residents have expressed frustration not only about the firing of two well-liked postal clerks, but with the long lines and delays they are now experiencing at the post office, especially coming into the holiday season. Several customers said they are waiting more than an hour to buy stamps or pick up packages. In a town with no pharmacy, customers waiting for deliveries of medication said they're worried about mail getting sorted and distributed in a timely manner. Skagway Tourism Director Carlton Donahue says outgoing and incoming mail already seems to be backed up.
I had some letters to mail, and I put them in the little slot. I had to push them in forcefully because the mail was stacked up so high.
But Postal Service officials said they are confident they have staffing issues resolved. Spokesperson Ernie Swanson said the temporary postmaster is remaining on staff until a permanent hire can be made, probably sometime early next year. And the Juneau Post Office is planning on sending clerical help to staff the office until permanent clerks are hired.
So we think we're going to be in good shape for the holiday mailing season.
That's not placating residents like Ratty. She's one of dozens who posted on the Skagway Swap Facebook page about who to contact to complain about the situation. She's reached out to the Alaska Congressional Delegation, the Governor's Office, the USPS Consumer Advocate Line in Washington, D.C., and the Director of USPS Anchorage Branch.
I've just kind of taken it upon myself to call everyone and anyone that is willing to listen.
This isn't the first time the post office has caused concerns in Skagway. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office intervened in May when she was alerted to concerns about the post office during a visit to town. At that time, understaffing was a concern for the summer tourism season, and mail delivery was backed up by several weeks. Murkowski established an email for Skagway residents to lodge complaints, and by July, it seemed things were mostly resolved when the Postal Service authorized the hiring of an additional employee. But with another siege of complaints, Murkowski spokesperson Matthew Felling said the office reactivated that email, and the senator is interested in figuring out if there is a bigger problem behind Skagway's recurring staffing issues at the post office. Reporting from Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
In less than 3 weeks, the winter solstice will mark a gradual lengthening in the daylight hours in Alaska. And with more light come thoughts of next spring's garden. Anchorage Daily News gardening columnist Jeff Lowenfels is the author of two books on the soil and food web. They are teeming with microbes and teeming with nutrients. Lowenfels says even though it's frigid outside, it's a good time to be thinking about gardening.
I'm always planting. Right now, for example, I look outside and I keep in mind where the snow has not accumulated. Those are special spots on your property. They're either way, way warm or they just don't get snow because they've been covered. And both of those are important things to gardeners. You have a bench sitting out there and all of a sudden you notice, hey, the snow melted behind that bench. Why is that? You know. And of course, this is the time to be feeding the birds. Well, they poop, they move protozoa around. The protozoa, of course, helps feed the plants.
You have three books, well, one in the works. There's the Teeming with Microbes, Teeming with Nutrients, and one more to come as part of a trilogy. Tell me a little bit about Teeming with Microbes.
Well, Teeming with Microbes is the science behind organic gardening. And it's all based upon something known as the soil food web. And it's basically a diagram of who eats whom in the soil. Plants use their photosynthetic energy not just to produce fruits and leaves and flowers, but actually most of it, 50 to 70% of it, to produce things that drip out of the root system. And these are called exudates. And the exudates are designed by the plant to attract bacteria and protozoa. and nematodes, fungi. And they all interact. The protozoa and the nematodes eat the fungi and the bacteria. They poop out the excess nutrients that they don't use. And these turn out to be in plant usable form. And all of this is happening right down there by the root system as a result of the plant attracting its food to the roots. And I think most people are not aware of the fact that there's such a dynamic system going on, that there's a wonderful, natural, organic system that all gardeners can take advantage of.
So you're saying that gardeners maybe should pay a little more attention to what's going on in the soil rather than throwing stuff on the plants.
Absolutely. Soil structure and the life in the soil has everything in the world to do with how your plants do. And we've come along since World War II and completely messed up soil structure using chemicals. We've completely messed up the soil food web using pesticides.
So let's go to teeming with nutrients now.
Right.
Are you suggesting maybe that, you know, this sort of old idea of the fertilizer with the pH, the nitrogen, and the carbon mixture, is that old hat now?
The second book does discuss the NPK concept. Nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium listing that are on every single fertilizer label in the world. Those numbers are important to know, but it's also important to know the other things that a plant needs, how few things a plant needs. There are only 17 elements that make up every single molecule in a plant. And so to know how things get into the plant, and what they do once they get in the plant, what their roles are, how the plant acts, all added together make you a better gardener.
Author and columnist Jeff Lowenfels speaks tomorrow evening at Alaska Pacific University's President's Forum series in Anchorage. Check alaskapublic.org for details. And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. We had help tonight from Lisa Fu in Juneau, Dan Bross in Fairbanks, Dacia Eaton in Anchorage, and Margaret Friedenauer in Haines. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reported from Juneau, and Liz Ruskin from Washington, D.C. Our editor and producer is Annie Feit. Our audio engineer is Dave Waldron. Josh Edge is our web producer. I'm Ellen Lockyer.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by Northern Air Cargo. Since 1956, Alaskans have entrusted Northern Air Cargo to transport their freight. Thank you, Alaska, for the opportunity to serve you for decades to come. Join Alaska bars and restaurants from every corner of the state in taking a stand against secondhand smoke. The fact of the matter is, no Alaskan, employee, or customer should suffer the heart disease and lung cancer due to secondhand smoke. The benefits are undeniably positive for Alaskans and for the bottom line. Clean indoor air. It's good for health, and it's great for business. For more information on smoke-free workplaces, visit alaskatca.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Tobacco Control Alliance. Many Alaska business owners are paying too much for energy. The Commercial Building Energy Audit Program identifies an average of 30% in energy savings. The application period runs November 1st through December 20th. To learn more, visit akenergyefficiency.org. This message sponsored by the Alaska Energy Authority.
Whether visiting Barrow or attending business in Juneau, APRN goes with listeners wherever they roam. Your company's message can span across Alaska on 26 stations. Find out how by calling 907-550-8437.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.